Welcome into the Pursuit of Manliness podcast. My name is Jarrett Samuels. As always, I want to thank you for stopping by today's show and listening to the podcast. If you'd make sure to subscribe to whatever platform you found this show, you'll never miss any Pursuit of Manliness podcast, interviews, or Men in the Bible episodes. Also, make sure to check us out on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook, all at Pursue Manliness. And we have a closed Facebook group at facebook.com/groups/ Pursuit of Manliness. Men, it's time for the show. All right, at this time, I welcome Steve McAdam to the podcast. Steve, thanks for taking time and being on today's show, brother.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it, Jared. Thanks.
Hey, man, you and I were just talking before we started this that we have a connection through social media, was Twitter and Instagram and some like-minded brothers in Christ. But for guys who don't know who you are or what you do, would you just take a moment and introduce who you are and what kind of lights a fire in your life, man?
Yeah, so my name is, like you said, mentioned Steve McAdam. I go on IG by Stand Strong Art. I went to school to become a graphic designer. I've been doing design for about 20 years. And about 10 or 11 years ago, I just developed what you see on Instagram is Stand Strong. And it came from a really dark place in my life where I was struggling with pornography and just at a good church, good friend, Bible study, serving. There's just a lot of brokenness in my life over the years and I was kind of lonely. I was living in Los Angeles, working in film and entertainment, doing movies. And there was a lot of, I was medicating myself to some degree. It wasn't like an everyday struggle, but there was, you know, there's times where it was harder than others. But, and so from a really dark depression, I feel like I wasn't clinically depressed, but there was just, I was just frustrated at God and angry and so from that place where there was just sermons and things I was listening to, reading the Bible, and it kept saying, stand, stand, stand. You see that a lot through the Bible, even through the New Testament. In more ways than once, you know, like Paul continually encourages Timothy to take a stand in a lot of ways. And a lot of the hollow and deceptive philosophy that Timothy was facing in his church and in that time. And then so I was just reading things and listening to things that, and then I was like, I don't feel strong. And a lot of men, you know, that's, I don't know if we'll ever touch on it today, but strength, you know, like, you know, everyone quotes Psalms 144:1, you know, Lord trains my hands for war, my fingers for battle. But they forget the key point of that verse is that, you know, the Lord is my rock and refuge. And that's where our true strength comes from, like David. You know, that's when I started seeing things. I'm like, the word came to me. It was like, stand strong. I was like, what the heck? And I was like, all right. And then I prayed. I was like, God, I was going to these really crazy art shows and the crazy stuff that you see in Los Angeles, man. Like I went to this art show and we paid $5 to get in. And it's like this real hipster emo kind of crowd. I mean, I hang out with artists, whatever. This guy had like this beaded thing he was wearing. He was playing this weird electronic music, which was kind of cool. Then he's like, starts taking off his clothes. I'm like, oh, I'm out of here. Peace. I left. I ran down the stairs. I'm like, get me the heck out of this place. And I'm thinking, I paid $5 to get into this place. And this is what they call art. Mm. And I started going to these different art shows. And I'm like, there's nothing. When you're in, like, I wouldn't say, I call L.A. Babylon in a lot of ways, or Egypt. It was just like, that's what Jared placed on my, got placed on my heart, too. It's just like, I have a voice and I want to say something. And so all those things combined with, I mean, 20 years of just doing art. So about 10 years ago, like I was saying, so many other different events led up to that too, the churches that I was going to, the ministries I was a part of, but I felt, and I saw the movie 300 and that was just like, I got it. Like, I love Frank Miller, saw the movie 300. I was like, okay, it's on. And then I prayed and the vision came and I was like, I'm doing this. And that's how it was birthed in a nutshell.
For those who are not familiar with Stand Strong Art, or you check it out on Instagram, your website, or Twitter, or I think you're on Facebook. Is that correct?
Yeah, I'm primarily on IG. I float everything out through Instagram to Twitter and Facebook. But if you reach me out on Twitter and Facebook, it may be a while before I get to you. But if you hit me up on Instagram, I'm usually pretty much within the, you know, 24-hour period, 48-hour period. Like, I'm usually respond. So
that's where I'm most familiar with your work. And then really what I find interesting, this is why I reached out to you, is there's a lot of artists doing art, and I'm not going to minimize art because frankly, I can't do it, but, or at least the type of art that you're doing, but your art communicates more than just an image or more than just a scripture. I mean, it makes you think, and for men, it's very relevant to who we are as men. What was the vision behind that? Have you always been that kind of artist, or is that you're telling a story though with what you create?
Yeah, I'm glad. I mean, that brings joy to my heart that you say that, because I feel like some days, like even when we talk to Joe from Vigilant Wolf and the Ever Vigilant podcast, like we discuss a lot, like, you know, especially you as a pastor probably feel the same way. Like, is the message getting out? Are people getting it? Are lives being changed? And I feel like I grew up, you know, I owe a lot to my dad too. He was in the, I lost my train of thought. No, he was a paratrooper. He jumped in the tail end of Vietnam. And, you know, we grew up watching movies, hunting, shooting bows, there was a love for reading because of, like, he's a voracious reader, and, you know, and I have tons of war books and I love history. And so, you know, to answer your question, like, my parents were divorced. Oh, sorry. My parents were divorced when I was younger, and then my mom got remarried. But, you know, I had a stepdad and a father. So basically two dads, one dad, like, meaning I got a little bit from both. But, I really was convicted as a Christian. I think that's the foundation where, like, because manliness is being on the attack, I've always felt like, like we were saying earlier before we started recording, be the same man you are in every arena of your life. And I'm like, you know, why shouldn't I not do manly art? I'm a man. Mm-hmm. And I love war movies. I mean, favorite movies right now off the bat, 300, Gladiator, Braveheart, just a few, The Book of Eli, Master and Commander, Last of the Mohicans. Those are movies I grew up watching. And so, you know, as a young age, you just look at all the different things that you were attracted to or things that you really enjoyed. And I try to, I'm like, I want to make art where you can go into battle. And a huge proponent of that is in Ephesians 6, spiritual armor. And I feel like, when you buy the artwork or support the brand in whatever capacity, like, I want to make things that you can go into battle with, whether you're kicking in doors in Iraq or Afghanistan, or you're just a regular guy like you and me who want to put it on our backpack, or who does some firearms training or whatever. But, you know, it's like, I want to encourage men as well, because I think that's one of my gifts, is encouragement to men to fight, like you're saying, fight to be better husbands, better fathers, just to take a stance wherever they are in the sphere of influence that they're in. Because I believe that God has strategically planted us exactly where we are. We're like, oh, let's do missions across the seas. That's great if you want to do it. But
yeah.
So I think there's just, as an artist, I feel like, you know, if you're seeing that, then I think that I guess the message is coming across.
Well, I believe it is. I think, you know, you do incredible work. The PVC patches are really cool. I think that's a great talent that you have. And you kind of, even I think recently, kind of bring people a little bit behind the scenes of, you know, you do your own work and you're doing your own stuff. Is just out of curiosity, is this, when did you start learning how to do that? You know, when you get the equipment, or how does that work where you go, you know what, I think I'm making patches now. I went from, you know, what was the progression there?
Well, I mean, I've been designing for a long time, and I've done everything from movie posters to bus shelters to vehicle wraps to DVDs to designing food trucks. And it's kind of like anything, man, like for you, like, once you preach one place, I'm like, oh, I can go preach this venue. I mean, it's just like, you know, it's just one of those things when you've done it for so long, sometimes the venues or things change. And just give an analogy for yourself. Same thing for me. It's just like, there's a science behind different types of design. Like, it's like entertainment design, like movie posters. Mm-hmm. It's still considered design, but there's a different approach to it. Say, like, you preach a sermon that's more practical versus more theology, like more theology or more application versus, you know, or maybe, you know. So there's just different ways of going about design. So patches, there is a science behind it. Like, I had to learn it was a struggle for 2 years. And my buddy started over at 144.1. He started doing patches. excuse me, and I've always known about it, but he started doing, he's like, man, you need to jump on this. And I'm like, okay. And I started doing it. And I mean, I've worked with so many vendors and so many over the years. And it's like, if I need something manufactured, I know how to talk to people and figure out how to design something to whatever specs. And it's just a science now. And now I feel like I'm getting a little bit better with it. Now, for instance, if I went to go design for, say, like, I'm just going to throw it out here, like Lululemon, you know, I could do it. Because of the company's culture and kind of what they do, you know, there's a science behind that style or that brand that you need to have that certain mindset. So like, and that as a designer, you have to, like, for instance, like if someone approaches me, which happens all the time, can you do this logo or design for my company? So you have to be skilled at a variety of styles or like, be versatile in that sense. And then the patches came out to be a love for the military, and I love collecting like the old World War II. I have some Vietnam patches that my dad gave me. And just the ability to make designs that are going to go on someone's plate carrier, and they're going to kick down someone's door.
So yeah. As much as I love your content and what you create in the design, we're smart enough as Christian men to know that there's going to be pushback, that there's going to be, Jesus had it. He says it's going to have it. We're going to get attacked. We're going to get attacked personally and probably hindered professionally because you take a stand as a man of God. Have you experienced anything like this with what you're creating?
Yeah, I think when I left California 4 years ago, I was done with the entertainment world. I was done with graphic design. I was like, I'm coming to Texas to start my business. And I worked, you know, delivering pizzas and retail and to work on my business. So I financially, it took, like, that's the thing. Like, people don't realize, like, what cost, like, to do something. Because I was like, I'm not going back to that world. And I still definitely don't necessarily want to go back to that world. And I was like, I want to build something for myself. So yeah, I mean, you might not see, like, straight up opposition right away from, say, like, you know, like either the left or a party meaning it could be groups of different types of people,
right.
That do not agree with you. So it doesn't always come in a form of like persecution in the sense from a group of kind of a certain kind of people or individuals, but it could just be the financial aspect when say, hey, I'm going to take this step of faith and go out and do this. And yeah, it's been hard. I'm not going to lie. Like starting your own business, learning a lot. There's ups and downs. There's days where I'm swearing. I'm like, God, why am I doing this? Like, this sucks. Yeah. And I think too, like, yeah, I mean, even, you know, like it's hard. Like, I can't, like when I'm looking to do freelance work or other jobs, I can't send them my Stand Strong website because right away they're like, well, we don't hire this guy, you know? So I have an alternate portfolio, to do other work, but sometimes I'm not always hired because regardless whether it screams my faith in my work, it's also my masculine approach, because my wife's like, man, your stuff is really dark. And I'm like, well, I mean, that's who I am. And some people already, you know, like, well, we're not going to hire this guy. But I mean, like I said, I could design stuff like for Lululemon or like, you know, I do stuff around the house for my wife. I'll make her little cards or like little things to hang up, you know, and it matches our decor in the house. So you got to be versatile as a designer. But overall, like we talked about the human rights patch, I got a lot of heat for that because a lot of companies, even Christian companies, I was like, well, why aren't they taking stances about, you know, about being pro-life? And I'm like, because you know why? It's one thing to post, like a lot of these companies will post things about the Second Amendment or they'll pose with firearms like, oh yeah, we're cool. I mean, we live in a country that's been, where firearms have been around for centuries. But this abortion thing is, you know, it's been around for a long time, but not as long as firearms in the sense of, you know, it's just vital. Like, as far as like, I made that patch and I mean, it's been received really well, but in certain contexts or places that I have posted that human rights patch, the anger and the hostility and for human life, not even for babies, but just in regard to human life. I mean, it's preposterous as far as like the I don't know what I'm trying to say, but you realize that people are so angry and they're on another level of anger to the point that if they had the opportunity to kill you, they would.
Yeah. You see that, you know, I think that's the age we live in. Is as good as social media can be, allowing us to connect like this, to strengthen one another. You and I have some connections. We talk about Joe Prim, Vigilant Wolf. We have other opportunities to be stronger together. There is, I mean, it doesn't matter what you post online. There's somebody out of some deep, dark corner of, you know, fake account that will attack you for something. So the key is that you got to be stronger together. We talk about building better men together, because if you don't, you will second guess yourself. You'll second guess your art, your creativity, whatever it is. And eventually you'll quit. And that's what Satan wants to do, is just, you know, beat you down, that we realize that evil is very, very real. And if you create something, there will be critique. The people that critique the most create the least. I firmly believe that.
Sideline quarterbacks.
That's right. They're in the bleachers telling you how you should have threw the ball down the field, and you should, you're like, what are you doing? What are you doing? How do you stay the course then when you got someone attacking you or verbally attacking your family or your faith? What is your resolve to say, man, I'm gonna stand. I'm gonna stand strong.
I mean, that's why I created the brand. And there's days where I don't feel like I stand strong. I think why I created the art is because it's something I'm gonna live like, as it's a goal. I'm working towards it for the rest of my life. A lot of these lifestyle brands are like, it's the here and now. Let's be cool. Let's be tactical guy. But it's like, I started this because I knew there's days that I won't live up to it. And it's something that's going to be a lifelong pursuit. Like, you know, what it says in the world, like, you know, we will not be completed until he comes back, that day of perfection. So it's like, in that same sense, it's like, I'm working towards perfection. I'm working to be stronger every day, whether it's mentally, physically, socially, or spiritually. But like, you know, I'm not being persecuted all the time, you know, so I want to make that clear. But what I'm saying is, like, through my life has been, I've been a Christian for a long time. Even in college, you know, like, I had to stand and take certain stances. Even in high school, I got ridiculed a lot because I wouldn't hang out with the cool kids. It's not that I didn't want to hang out with the cool kids. It's just that I wanted to do my own thing, be my own person, and I didn't want to associate with anybody. I wanted to be that guy that was cool with everyone. I was cool with the nerds. I was cool with the headbangers, the skaters, the cool guys on the basketball team that I played with. So it was just like, I always felt like I was a rebel to that degree. Like, I didn't subscribe to the norms, and I still don't. So I even got a lot of flack. See, people think persecution has to be like with a sword and like these people are coming after you to take your blood. But persecution could even be from family. It could even be from friends. Even in the Christian realm, even some of my friends are like, oh, Steve, you're rebellious. You know, like, you're, you know, like, I think you have these issues. I'm like, I'm the same guy. Then you don't know me. You don't know my faith. You don't know what I stand for. Just because I stand for the Second Amendment, or I love the freedom of speech, I love what we have here, and I'm going to protect it. I told my buddies, you constantly bring up the Second Amendment, and if that's a decision that you don't want or believe that you think we should have, that's your opinion. But I told them, if anything ever comes up about abortion, you better darn Skippy know that I'm going to put something out there, regardless of whatever it is. And I think that I want to make art that's going to push people to be like, okay, well, I got to do something too. So, I think that, you know, how do you stand strong? I mean, and word says that, you know, they hated him, they're going to hate us. And I think that, you know, if we, like, some people are surprised at what we see in politics in the world right now, we're like, oh my gosh, can't believe this is happening. But what, I mean, we were founded on godly moral principles in this country. Now we're not to some degree. So when you take, like, you look at Israel throughout their history, you see this up and down over a timeline. And when you remove God out of, like, prayer out of church or school, and sometimes even prayer out of certain churches things like that. And, you know, when they pass laws or bills, you know, promoting, you know, abortion and things like that, and then we can see why there is a demise in our society. And we have, like, what you're doing, we have the lack of leadership of men. I think that's the biggest proponent, is men. So
You know, one of the things that, you know, you and I have touched on before we started today was the importance of being consistent and authentic. It's not that I'm trying to put off to you that I have it all together or that I'm overly, you know, I'm overly manly or that I am, you know, anything better than anyone else. I say it all the time. I'm not better than you. I'm just better than that. Like, I'm just trying to get better every day. So consistency is going to be important, because if I were to, you know, if you were to run into me at the store and go, "Man, you're not at all the same guy I just talked to online or whatever. We're frauds and shouldn't be trusted." And I'm not here to call out anybody, but I think that's important. Yeah. When you put your name and your face attached to a brand, like being a Christian, you represent that everywhere you go. I mean, have you had that realization with Stand Strong and what you're doing?
Probably not enough. I think it's tough because, I mean, like, sometimes I'm home, I may swear when I'm angry and I'm like, I talk to my wife, I call her love, I'm like, "Love, you know, sorry, upset about something." She knows I'm a passionate dude and there's no excuse, you know, but it's like, what you see on my Instagram page, like what you see here, you see me at the grocery store, I'm not gonna be like, "I don't have time for you." I genuinely care about people. I'll take time to talk. I have friends I've made, Instagram friends, who actually call me more regular than my own friends, which is strangely weird. So, like, I try to portray, like, you know, I'm the same guy that I'm gonna be at home or at work or at the grocery store or at the range or wherever the case may be. I try, and I think that's the thing of discipline. It's like, yeah, I'm not perfect. Yeah, I mean, you know, we all drive in traffic, and then that's a true test of to see how someone really responds to frustration. And, you know, you might see me on a day where I'm kind of frustrated. So I'm not perfect by no means. But I think the thing is just that being authentic, like you're saying, every arena of your life, even as broken as we are, or when we do fail and make mistakes, being honest about that.
Well, I think that, you know, a consistent theme is, man, yes, if we don't have something we're fighting for, I think we have two different individuals inside each and every man. You have this alpha male that says, "I can do it. I don't need you. I don't need anybody," whatever. And then you have this insecure boy somewhere, and these two war with each other. And when our alpha male gets shot down, insecure boy rises to the surface, or vice versa. But when you get around other men like 300, like Braveheart, like what we're trying to do, like developing a band of brothers or a tribe of men, you all move the same direction. That means I have a niche, you have a niche, and he has a niche, but we're better together. When you don't have anything worth fighting for, you will find ways to waste time and life, and you'll hurt a lot of people. And I think that's what is, man. You got to have something you're fighting for.
Yeah. You mind if I read something from Wild at Heart?
And
I
go ahead.
This actually got me, and I read this to my wife last night. I sent it to my buddy, who was a former Army, and he was a combat medic. And we kind of talked about this a lot, but I think what summarizes if you have not read the, you know, Wild at Heart, you're definitely missing out. And it's something to touch on. It's like, why created? Because I've always had that warrior spirit. Like you're saying, the dichotomy of, like, is like this. You have this alpha male here, and you have this little Ned Flanders guy that you're talking about here, or this little boyish character here. I think there's that wrestling of both all the time, but we forget about what's in the middle, is that warrior that we all want. That I know, that warrior spirit that I have, that every man has. And that's why I did the art, because I want to inspire people to wake up and embrace that warrior spirit that God has placed on every man. And so the principle of Stand Strong is inspire, fight, and overcome. Mm-hmm. And so let me just read this real quick so that the listeners who listen to this, it's on page 143 of Wild at Heart. And it says here, "A man must have a battle to fight, a great mission to his life that involves and yet transcends even home and family. He must have a cause to which he is devoted until death, for this is written into the fabric of his being." Listen carefully now. You do. That is why God created you to be his intimate ally, to join him in the great battle. You have a specific place in line, a mission God made for you. That is why it is so essential to hear from God about your true name. Because in that name is the mission of your life. And then he goes into Churchill, talks about Churchill a little bit, which I absolutely love. so with that being said, I really believe, like, that each man needs to find a cause and fight for something. And I hope, like you're saying, through my art and through what I'm doing, inspires other men to to get off the couch, I guess.
Yeah, we tell guys that every man needs a purpose. You know, we go to Mark 14, Jesus in the garden. He says, "Not my will, but your will be done." The purpose was that he was going to die on mm-hmm. the cross for our sins, that was where the victory was really won. The problem with most men is we find our purpose in our employment. So whoever gives me a direct deposit, that's my purpose. So when I come home, I'm just like waiting to get back to my purpose, you know, and you come home, they're like, "So what? You're supposed to be here," you know, and we don't get the validation at home. And so your purpose has to transcend where I park my car Monday through Friday and where I sit down in an office. It has to be bigger than that, because if I get fired today, or, you know, an illness precludes me from going back to work or whatever, then my purpose is gone. It has to be bigger than that. And your home should benefit directly because of that purpose.
Oh yeah. I mean, I think too, like, I've been there. I put my identity in my career. I think guys struggle with that. I think there's a couple of really good books out there. Matt Carter from the Austin Stone wrote a book with Colt McCoy. It's called The Real Win. One of the best men's books I've read. I might do a post. And then what's his name? There's another book actually. There's a couple of, I might make a post of it, but that book, like, he really hits on something that about career, and I struggle with my career, put my identity in my career, because I didn't understand my self-worth. And because as growing up, you realize, like, yeah, I had a father figure, but you realize, like, your insecurities and your identity. Like, people, when they talk to me when I was a teenager, like, "Oh, here's Steve, he's a good basketball player." Now, when I got older, it was like, "Oh, he's a good designer or artist." And I'm like, now I'm like, I left that all behind, and I actually detached myself from that, where I'm like, I don't care whether, and I left Hollywood, and I was like, you know what? It don't matter to me anymore. And it was hard. You left the 401ks, the bonuses, the conveniences of, you insurance. Know, a good job. Yeah, insurances. And it's hard. It was hard. And then now, you know, I've been married for almost a year now. And then it's like, now how do you become a good husband and provide for your family, knowing the call that God has put on your heart? Like you're saying, how do you balance that?
Yeah,
that's kind of where I'm at right now. It's hard because you don't always see the fruit of your labor. And that's hard, because sometimes we're called to just plant. Being a Christian is probably one of the most manly things that you could possibly ever do, despite people listening to other podcasts that aren't, you know, faith-based. Because when you look at Christ, the path, like you said, that he walked or he journeyed, that was a path to death. But the question is evil, and I think you touched on that before. If you do not think we're in a spiritual battle, and you don't think what we're seeing in politics and the world with our physical eyes is a battle, and the thing is, like, why I'm making the art, because I am trying to combat the forces of evil. And Christians don't talk about that. You don't hear sermons of like, "Well, you know what? I want to kick Satan right in his pants." And I think that's kind of like where I'm trying to get out with artwork, is that I want to make things, like, basically at the end of the day, in a nutshell, is like, make art and wage war. And that's in the physical and the spiritual, and to wake men up. And I think, Jared, what you're doing is an amazing thing. God bless you, man. And I think we need, like I said, like, even Joe at Ever Vigilant, like, we need more men like that. It may not be a podcast. It may not be artwork. It's like, if God's calling you to do homeless ministry, do that. If he's calling you to develop a young men's group to teach young boys how to be men, or take them camping, or take them out, and or even if it's just you, where I join a Big Brother program or something, start a men's Bible study in your garage. I'm tired of men, like, okay, look, Instagram, it's like, you have to understand that Instagram is fake in a lot of ways. we see a lot of manliness on Instagram, and it's not manliness,
right?
So the thing is, vet those guys that you're looking up to. And the question is like this: would you go into battle with them? That's a question. And, like, people in the Christian world are like, "Oh, why would you ever say that?" Because if I can't jump in a foxhole with you, we ain't gonna do battle. And it's not physical hand or fist to cuffs. It's like, I want to know that this guy on my right and my left has my back no matter what life throws at me. And like you're saying, that's the thing. Persecution is going to come, especially in this country, especially what we're seeing. It's not going to stop. And I'm not sounding like some conspiracy theorist or anything like that, but the thing is, we live in such a soft culture, and it's proven. Look at the data, and from the secular standpoint, there's science out there to prove it. The downfall of men or leadership in the church, in our society, culture has wreaked havoc in our church. And so we're wondering, like, well, why are there all problems? Yeah, because men are inconsistent and have basically don't show up. And now women are stepping up into all these other leadership roles and things because men are silent. So now we're looking at this like, so I want men who are going to stand with me. And even if I'm standing by myself, but it just takes a few men like us to say, no, we're going to take a stand. And like, you're right. I think men need something to rally behind. Mm-hmm. You know,
but it's like we talked about before about being consistent, or at least trying to be, you know, saying, hey, I'm not perfect, but I'm trying to get this mm-hmm. right. Because if I am a warrior on my iPhone as I'm kicking out hashtags, you know, fight for this and do this and do this, and I am just a total tool when I put the phone down, or as I said, my you know, if my kids don't like me, or my wife doesn't respect me, or, you know, next thing I know, I'm posting about my wife gave me divorce papers. I don't know what happened. Well, you were a lot more manly behind your hashtags or your, you know, and I'm not saying there isn't value there. I think we live in a time where we just want to be microwave this stuff. And so if I can give you a motivation yeah. quote, this will make you better. No, it'll make you better by trying to live it out. Like, go apply it. And you used to talk about, you know, Christianity. When people say it's for, you know, weak-minded people, I just laugh because I'm like, you have no idea. You have no idea. And that's okay. You don't. Because, you know, truthfully, I don't know what it's like to be an artist like you. You know, like, we don't know. But when you understand Jesus, you understand it is the exact opposite of what you think it is. And just because we – and this is what we don't understand right now. Is just because you think or feel something, it doesn't mean you're right. It just means yeah. you think or feel something. Nobody
yeah.
gives a rip what you think or feel. What is truth? And until you pursue what is mm-hmm. actually truth, you're just going on your emotions. And that's what I think is happening. A lot of guys mm-hmm. were these alpha male professional businessmen, but when push come to shove, where are you? Who's standing in the gap for these people?
Fear.
Why is your wife taking fear, kids man. To church by themselves? Mm-hmm. Why do you know more about your kid's batting average than you know if they know anything about Jesus? And so this is why mm-hmm. I think its presence is so important. I think you need an online presence. But you need a real, if I gain a bunch of followers or downloads, or you do the same and sell a bunch of patches and t-shirts, and your wife hates you or my wife hates you, we are failures. We are absolute failures. And it doesn't matter who we impress, because God.
Yeah, knows. Yeah. No, I mean, like, you know, I'm not trying to plug Joe all the time, but he's such a good brother, and that's a mutual connection. But
right.
like, we spent a lot of time talking, and I bet, like, if his wife was like, hey, why are you talking to this dude all the time? You're taking time away from the family, but she knows I'm encouraging her husband.
Yeah.
He's becoming a better man. My wife knows, like, I'm hanging out with dudes like you and Joe and guys like from Mark from Veritas or Miles from Archangel Dynamics and things like that. These are guys who are constantly calling me and encouraging me. And the thing is, like, so the thing is, it's like your wife has to see, like, wow, you're a better person when you talk to this person or when you're hanging around this person. And two, like, being a Christian, man, is hard. I mean, I've been to almost every single denomination you can think of, from Pentecostal to Conservative Baptist to Calvary Chapels to, you know, you name it. And the thing is that I got saved at a young age, and then whether, I don't know, theology-wise, whether you can rededicate your life or not, but when I was 18, I decided to take my faith a lot more serious yeah. for myself. And so it's been about 20 years plus now where, because I don't know how much time we have, but I mean, let's retrospect 20 years ago, because people ask me, like, because it's easy to just, it's always to see, like, okay, here's Jared Samuels now, but the journey of Jared Samuels, how did he get to that point? Now
it's a like, train wreck. It's a yeah, train wreck.
yeah. And a lot of failures, a lot of detours. But 20 years ago, I was a really good basketball player. I wanted to go in the NBA, which never happened, but I was working towards that. I got real sick and then I just couldn't play my senior year. And I wound up getting my own apartment as a senior in high school. And my teachers thought I was going to fail. I was having problems with my family at home. My dad's like, the only alternative is you move with me or you move on your own. And I moved on my own, but that woke me up. And I realized, like, I have nothing else other than art. And I said, Lord, I'm going to take this journey as an artist because I want to go into the military. Honestly, like, my dad was in the military. I was gung-ho for either the SEALs or something, special forces, like my dad. I prayed and prayed, and I was like, I really want to go in the military. And I'm not making an excuse for not serving my country, but I feel like that calling to be an artist has been a very hard one. And even in art school, to be a believer, and because parents would say to me, how did you go to art school? I lived in Philadelphia at that time. I had a great church, but you know, how did you go and like live in Los Angeles for all that time and not compromise? I've seen guys fall even in the church. I've seen the wolves, but at the end of the day, there's the reality that comes down to where I look at my life and I'm like, whoa, am I walking by faith or by sight? I think as a Christian, I feel like I'm an advocate in the sense of I've struggled with the worst and I'm still here trying to serve our Lord. And there's days where I feel like I don't. Like, I feel like a horrible Christian. Because, I mean, so I don't know if that answers your question, if this helps some of the men that are listening to it. Because being a Christ follower, you're going to screw up a lot.
It's the daily repentance and confession to go, hey, I'm humble enough to know, man, I am nothing apart from Christ. And as you're saying, if you're a Christ follower and you're really trying to, you know, be obedient in this, and when you have a platform like God has given you, Satan will do whatever he can to knock you down. I remember, about a year plus ago, standing in nearly this very spot with my wife, and I was going to take a break from Pursuit of Manliness, and I was going to, you know, at least a month off. I remember that. And my wife took an hour to talk me out of taking a break from it. And after a while, I realized, and my daughters have kind of affirmed it later on with a different story. They see the benefit of me as a man, as a Christ follower, as a husband, father, even my presence in the home, different because of conversations like this and intentionally seeking those guys. Even right now, my kids are inside and they go, I came inside before I started this. They're like, you're done already? Yeah. Like, they know what we're doing and they know the value in it. So I think what you're saying, a key here is, and you and I've connected on it, we've never met in person, if you need those brothers in your corner to build you up and to spur you on and to keep you in the fight and not burn out, you can find them online if you don't have them in real life. You can find, like you said, those guys that text you, you can get them if you want them.
I think too, like the thing is that no matter what you do, like when you listen to Jocko and he has this like kind of a never quit attitude and taking that, you know, extreme responsibility, like there's days I do want to give up, but that's not something that's been in, those thoughts do come, but that's never been the word in my vocabulary to actually action it.
Yeah.
You'll think about it. But it's like you're saying like, well, I've been down the road punching the clock 9 to 5, doing the overtime. I've worked various jobs in retail and sales and, you know, customer service of what kind and whatever. And I've worked in security. I've had more jobs than probably anybody would have in their entire lifetime. But when it's a process, it's taken me so long to battle things in my heart, things that was broken over as a kid, as a man, and the Lord building you up and building that confidence. And it's a struggle. It's only within the last year now, like I'm seeing, like now even being married, now it's like stepping up into a whole nother realm. But God is teaching me, and even being married, my wife has pointed a couple of key things out in my life. It's like, hey, you need to think about these things. And I'm like, whoa, you're right. But I think that a lot of men will make excuses for their behavior because they're ashamed about whatever the case may be.
Yeah.
And the thing is, we're all in the same boat. What we all struggle with is the same thing. There's no different, whether it's a porn issue or substance abuse or it's anger. I have anger issues, I'm not gonna lie. Like, and I'm working on that. Like someone said, you can quote me wrong if my theology is off, there's a difference between wrestling with sin and actually being in sin. Like you could be struggling with something, but you're working towards a solution, and you say, look, I'm working on this. I'm getting the help. I'm getting counseling. I'm reaching out to my brothers. I have an addiction of some kind, fill in the blank. But there's a difference when you're struggling and wrestling with it. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what I'm trying to say. You're wrestling because you want to get better. I'm telling you, like, the heat does turn up for lustful thoughts and things when you're doing this. And I have to limit my time on Instagram because people post scandalous stuff. And there's a time I took a break off Instagram for a month. I was like, okay, I'm off. Doesn't mean I'm not working.
Yeah.
I'm still working on what I'm doing. I'm painting, I'm drawing, I'm connecting, I'm networking. But the thing is, for men, I believe that you will make excuses to support whatever it is that you want to do. Because men have this lone ranger, kind of solo wolf, you know, mentality of like, I want to do what I want to do when I want to do it. I have the same problem. But if you're really truly committed to like manhood and masculinity, the true test is, can I get close to a couple of dudes and pour my life and my heart out and get vulnerable and stop making excuses? That's the truth. That's the truth, because then your wife will see a difference and change, because then you're more vulnerable. I don't have a problem being vulnerable with my wife. Like, that's not a problem for me, but it's taken me years to get to that point. But a lot, I hear like I'll give you an example. My wife read me this article the other week. She's like, she was on a blog and she was reading all these quick Christian women posting like, oh, my wife doesn't want to have sex with me, or we have sex once a month or whatever. I'm like, are you crazy, dude? Are you watching porn that much that you don't want to have sex with your wife, and your wife is begging to have like be intimate with you? And it's just like, some of us men have to take ownership that we've become pansies in some aspect of our life. You know what I'm saying?
Yes. Like,
so we can't blame like, well, my job, I'm tired. But the scariest thing is, I know I'm going to stand before God and I got to be accountable for everything that I've done. And I'm like, Solomon at the end of his life, he's like, basically fear God and keep his commandments. If that doesn't scare the bejesus out of you, man, like, I'm just like, I got a short time on this earth and I better make it count. And that's kind of where I'm at with all that.
We'll wrap up with this, man. I appreciate you showing up today. I know that you've been not feeling the best recently, and I learned as we were connecting, but you know, you showed up and you had this conversation. And I believe what we're talking about right now, there's guys who will listen to this who will be better for hearing your story, hearing your honesty, your transparency, and just how genuine you are. If they want to get connected to your art, connected to what you're putting out, the content, where do they go?
Well, you go to standstrongart.com and usually, I mean, here's the thing. If you want to, get in touch with me fairly quickly, email me, or Instagram. And Instagram is just standstrongart, just like the website. And then, yeah, if you have any questions or you're going through something and you want to chat, just DM me or send me an email. Yeah.
Cool, man. Thanks again, Steve. I appreciate you making some time. Once again, I want to thank you for tuning into today's show. If you'd make sure to leave a comment on what you found most interesting or equipping, and also share the show with those that you believe would also benefit from what we discussed today, that would be greatly appreciated. Men, as always, thank you for listening, and let's keep pursuing biblical manliness.